Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
A critical spirit is a spirit that is averse to happiness. It is allergic to contentment. And so it is always looking out for faults, looking out for something that it can lament about, something that it can be unhappy about. There are people, ladies and gentlemen, there are Christians who are never happy about anything. They don't have rest. God has promised us rest, but they are not happy about anything. They are not happy about their husbands, their job. They are not happy about their church. They are not happy about their nation. They are not happy about this world. They say we are going to heaven. This world is not our home. They are not happy. They are not content. They are always finding fault with the world in which God has placed them. And God in his wisdom has left them there. They are not happy with it. A critical spirit takes over them. And they go around looking for faults in their pastors, looking for faults in their leaders, looking for faults in their employers. And they vomit out this bitterness, profanity that defile many people. I want us to understand that finding fault, finding mistake in people's work, in people's lives, in a nation's life is the lowest way to live. And I am saying all this thing advisedly. Is the lowest way to live. People with a critical spirit never correct anything. People with a memory spirit are unproductive people. They never create anything. They can criticize but never create. It is not cleverness if you can point out faults in your leader, whether it's a single leader or the whatever. It is not being smart. Because evil is conspicuous. Everybody can find a fault. Everybody can see evil. Jesus actually taught that you have to make effort for your good to be seen. But when you do bad, you don't have to make any effort. The bad will advertise and announce itself. Everybody will see that weakness in your life, that issue in your leadership. Just because evil is easily seen. But good, it says that let your light, even the light, although it is in darkness, let it so shine. Force people, in other words, to see your good works, that they shall glorify your Father. Because it can do good and nobody sees it. And just see the little weakness which is in your life and in your leadership and in your marriage and in the relationship. You never criticize. It's the lowest level of living. Pointing finger, blaming people is the lowest expression of a fall. That is why I believe that memory is a manifestation of a critical spirit. And may God deliver us from that spirit in the name of Jesus. Number two, murmuring can be a manifestation of not being content or happy with your lot in life. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 21. Murmuring is a manifestation of discontentment. In other words, when you are not happy with what God has provided, the direction God has given, when you are not happy with it, what happens is that you can be tempted to go into murmuring. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 21, the last of the commandment, we call the 10 commandments God gave unto his people that Jesus came to fulfill and make it real in our lives. This is what he says. Deuteronomy 5:21. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. There's a revelation then also. Oh yeah. He says, don't even desire what somebody has. Neither shall you desire your neighbor's wife. It's a problem of men. That's why God put it this way. I don't think it's more of a problem of women than it is of men. But because things are bad these days, let's add the women there. Neither should you desire somebody's husband. Wow, you bring confusion into your marriage. So God says, this is my commandment to you. Don't desire your neighbor's wife. Neither shall thou covet your neighbor's house. There is a revelation there. Says that if even you see your neighbor's house, don't desire it. Do you know what God is saying? He says that be happy with your house. Be happy with your wife. Be happy with what you have. Because if you are not happy with your lot in life, it will lead you to speak under your breath and grumble and complain about your house that God has given you. I believe this is helping and liberating somebody. Hallelujah. Because God has called you to rest. Neither should you desire nor your neighbor's field or his farm or his business, his work. There is a revelation there. Or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, that's his car, or anything that is your neighbor's. Says that anything that is for taller, don't desire it. What God is saying is that be happy with what you have. Hallelujah. Because if you are not happy with your lot in life, with the church that God has placed you in, you are going to have a murmuring spirit. The devil is going to besiege you with this kind of disposition. Number three, murmuring is a manifestation of a lack of responsibility or a lack of involvement. A lack of involvement in something. The people who point fingers, the people who murmur, grumble, complain, the fault finders are oftentimes people who are not involved in the project. They are detached. They are people who are aloof and they are looking on. And so they start to point out the wrong directions and they start to point out the faults. So it's a serious thing not to have responsibility and not to be involved. Israel murmured because they did not have a sense of involvement in the journey from Egypt to the promised land. It's important for leaders to build involvement in people. Hallelujah. Now, it is important for you to understand that it is unwise to live your life or your business or your marriage or your church to a human being's hand. It is an unwise thing without your involvement just to leave it to them. I will not do that. I refuse to do that. I refuse to do that. I refuse to give my life to the president. I refuse to give my business to the regional minister. I refuse to give my life to the pastor and say that, take my life. I don't want to be involved. I do not want to be an architect of my own destiny. I want you to just determine everything for me. No way. Because if you show lack of responsibility and you do not take your own business in your hand, your own church in your hand, your own life in your hand, you are going to be bitter at the people whom you left it in their custody without your involvement. You must be involved. Involved people don't even see the mistakes because they are deeply involved in the operations. Anytime you have tendencies of maybe social commentating and murmuring as a believer, and this party too, and even the NDC, please understand that you are not involved even in the governance of our nation, the way that the Bible tells believers that we are the light of the world. You need to take responsibility. A murmuring spirit doesn't have any part in the life of anybody who is involved in his church. And he knows that whether the church falls or not, it does not just depend on the pastor, because the pastor is just a part of the body of Christ. I cannot say it any stronger. But the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 14 or so, that each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God to give account of his life and of the things that he did in his body. I do not want to relinquish my life and my business into somebody's hand and then at the end of the day go and stand before the Lord and tell him what? That the woman you gave me, the pastor you gave me, the political leader you gave me, the boss that you gave me, he messed me up. No, refuse to be messed up by anybody. Not even an anointed man of God. Refuse to be messed up. That is why Jesus must be your standard, which everybody must conform to. I cannot say stronger, any stronger. But it is an unwise thing when you know that you give account of your life, for you to give your life without any sense of responsibility and involvement. You just throw it on the preaching from the pulpit. Hey! During the judgment, the pastor will go, but you will also go. And you cannot tell God, "Oh God, because I was living in Ghana." You know, Ghana is a developing country. Please, come off it. He's giving us his word to make a way of escape for us. Let's move on. Wow. Grumbling, number four. Fault finding is a manifestation of unrighteous comparison. God has set a particular race before every one of us. And those races that have been set before every one of us is different, in as much as we are different. God has got different races for every one of us. He doesn't make me your standard or you my standard, that I must conform to. I must work hard to be like you. Because God never showed me two things that God created, two people that God created, two anything that God created which is the same. He never created anything, anybody the same. Everybody is unique. Because of that, it's unfair to put the same race before us. My race is different from Placebo's race. Your race is different from your sibling's race. It's different from your father's race. Our races are different. And you must understand that, so that you don't get into unrighteous comparisons, comparing your life to your brother's life or to your sister's life, to your fellow pastor's life, to this man of God's life. God will never say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were like Benihin. Now come into the joy of your father." Or you were like maybe Dr. Odabel. So come into the joy of your father. He is not your standard, neither my standard. Nobody is your standard except Christ. But even Christ, we will not all resemble Christ the way that Christ is. Because Christ is one body, different members. Please understand this thing very well. Because no matter how the spirit of somebody is upon you, there is a vast difference if you read between Elijah and Elisha, and between Elijah and John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah. That's a difference. Just read the Bible. You'll see similarities, but you'll see that it's a unique different race. He doesn't compare us to anybody. Unrighteous comparisons will make you just murmur. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. Paul says that we are not like the people who compare themselves to each other. and commend each other, because, well, my ministry is just close to that, so I am doing better, and then things like that. He says that, look, because they comparing themselves with themselves and measuring themselves with themselves are not wise. In the Greek, it says they don't have it together. Do you understand what they say? You don't have it together. Means you are scatterbrained.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Says, you know, such people, they don't understand the kind of race they are in. If they are off, they are not wise. Let's move on. 2 Corinthians 10:12. That's what I said. All right. Okay. So please understand that even we will all not be like Christ, we will be like Christ in different ways, and together we become, or we constitute Christ. Hallelujah. I'll preach you a message on this some time to come, so that we would stop comparisons and we'll be able to please God, live before God. It's very important. The next one I want to talk to you about, memory, number 5, is a manifestation of a lack of faith in God. As in the case of Israel, a lack of faith in God. Anyone who holds to the word of God, believing God's word that he is up to something positive in his or her life, will never murmur. Israel murmured because they didn't understand that temporarily they were hungry. Esau, temporarily you do not have it. Sarah, Abraham, temporarily you do not have it. The promises have not come. Joseph, but God is up to something positive in my life. A lack of faith will make you murmur. But when you know that it's a difficult thing, I mean, we must go through this wilderness, we will be faced with these things, but at the end of the day, some glory is coming out of it. The Bible says that you are able to count it all joy and be of good cheer, even in the world. Number 6, memory is a manifestation of a lack of understanding of God's ways. It's a manifestation of a lack of understanding of God's ways. Israel murmured because they did not know God's ways. Oh yeah, Hebrews chapter 3. Rather, let me put it this way. Israel murmured because they were not open to know God's ways. They didn't want to know God's ways. And if you are leading people, or you are leading, or somebody is leading you, and you lack understanding, you are going to murmur. In fact, later when they explain things to you, why I do things the way I do, you say that, oh, pastor, please, go on. You see that it was an unwise thing for me to have murmured. Because there are things that people know that you don't know. There are things that people have experienced and people have gone through. God has taken people through that they have not taken you through. As in the case of Moses. I mean, 40 years of preparation. I mean, it's a very difficult training. So what Moses knew, Israel did not know about God. And here they were not even open to know Moses or to know the ways of God. I call people who do not like to know the ways of God, who are not open to knowing and understanding people, I call them shortcut people. You know, shortcut people, they are always in a hurry. They don't have time for relationship. No, they don't have time. If you are, they don't want to know you. All that they want is that, well, are you my parent? Deliver. All that they want is that, are you the president voted? Deliver. Don't tell us about anything. Just deliver. You are the pastor?
deliver. I just want results. I don't want any relationship. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, God wants a relationship. The thing that he lost in the Garden of Eden that he wants established with men, the first priority of God is relationship. Not the car that you want. Not the husband or the whatever thing that you want. It is relationship, because he knows what you will get out of the relationship. The way of the world. Who said deliver? The way of God will say that, let us know how we can help for this delivery to take place. So, don't be a shortcut person, especially young people. Don't be in a hurry. Don't treat human beings as if, well, when I need cash, when I need connection, I can visit them. But I don't need any relationship with him. I just want what I can get from him. Like we do to our parents. Or we did to our parents when we were young, and our children still do to us. They don't want our words. Honestly. They don't want it. Because one time they even told me I shouldn't come to the house again. I'm telling you, my little boy just said that I shouldn't come to the house again. This is not my house. I said, hey, are you sure? This place. You know, because when I come, I limit them. And so their happiness is curtailed and they don't like it. You know, that is how children are. And when we are going out and the two of us normally, and it's not advisable for you to do that, even travel in the same car. You understand now. I'm talking about as husband and wife. You understand now, but later you understand. When you come to understand, later, it's for a later sermon. It's not advisable. So normally, my wife and I, we don't go to a place together. One will stay back. You know? So, when I have to, once in a while, I must go out with my wife. So, when we have to go out without them, they are very happy. Mommy too is going, daddy you also going, they are very happy. Because then, when they are jumping and somersaulting, and they say they are skating and all that, nobody is there to stop them. Or they can defy the person who is their guardian, temporarily. You know, but that is how we treat our our superiors. We want them to give us a toy. When we get a toy, no, how are you? We don't know. We just run off. And that is how sometimes we want to treat God. We want to come to God. God, give me the blessing. You get the blessing. You are off. You are not interested in what God is interested in. You do not want to talk to him because you have prayed once and the breakthrough has come. So now you no more live by faith, you live by sight. No, faith is from faith to faith. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that we need to understand God, know his ways, and don't be a shortcut person. Let me say something. Oh man. Let me say something before I end. Results and relationship can be mutually exclusive. What it means is that you can have results and not have relationship. You can have relationship and not have results. Don't compare and measure people by the level of results that is in their life. Works that is in their life. It does not speak to any special relationship that they have with God. Hallelujah. So results and relationship can be mutually exclusive. In other words, you can have one without the other. Psalm 103 verse 7, Hebrews 3, 9 to 10. Israel had the results, but the Bible says that they had all that they needed, but they did not know my ways. Moses knew the ways of God. Hallelujah. So you must understand that you can lead your life chasing after results, but God wants us to have an understanding. He wants us to communicate Membrane is a manifestation of a badly developed relationship. You don't understand that person. He doesn't understand you. So you murmur. But if you understand the ways of God, if Israel understood the ways of God, they would not have behaved the way that they did towards God. But they were not open to the ways of God. Because like children, they wanted a result, a toy. They wanted the car. They didn't want daddy. They didn't want to know daddy's heart. They didn't want to know mommy. They didn't want any fellowship with mommy or daddy. They just wanted, what can daddy do for me? It elicits memory. When you are a shortcut person, result-finding person, instead of a relationship-finding person, you will never understand life. You will never understand life. You will never understand people. You will never understand relationship. If your focus is results, you will drive human beings like machines. You will drive your pastor until he dies. Because the demand on Moses was so much. He says, Lord, I can't handle these people alone. Hey, these people, they are too much for me. Wow. Finally, membrane is a manifestation of a religious spirit. It's a manifestation of a religious, idealistic spirit with high standards of performance. Like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they had a high standard of performance. They thought that it was a righteous thing, religious thing, to have a high standard of performance, but it was really a manifestation of a religious spirit. A religious spirit uses high standards to discourage and destroy what God is gradually building. And what he is gradually doing. How does he do it? Because he parades himself, a person with a religious spirit, parades himself as being on a righteous, high standard course, but is actually destructive like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. You know, Jesus Christ said about these people, that you scribes and Pharisees, you live by a very high code of ethics. You bind a burden and you put it on people's head, but you yourself will not raise a finger to help them. The difference between the Holy Spirit and the religious spirit is that the religious spirit and the Holy Spirit, they all have high standards. But the difference is that when a religious spirit, a person out of a religious spirit, gives you a high standard, whether in your business, your marriage, your church, or whatever to live by, that person, if he does not lend a helping hand, is operating with a religious spirit. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, also has got high standards, but he is called a helper. So when he puts the burden on you, he is going to help you. Help your infirmity. So that you don't even feel the weight of that standard which is being said. What happens is that a person who is memoring always, is because he has a high code that he lives by. And he is operating by a religious spirit. The social commentator will sound like, well, he is on a righteous call. He cares for the poor. He cares for all those people. And then he set a standard that, Voltaic must be in every home by now after so many years of independence. I mean, they will talk about all these things as if they are fighting a righteous cause. But what is happening is that the critic never creates or corrects. And so he is rather being unprofitable by destroying the work of God. God, Jesus said, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. So whatever they are saying, do it. But don't do what they are doing. Because they will bind the burden on you and they will never help you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So don't develop a high standard kind of life and high standard for your pastor and high standard for your boss without giving a helping hand. When you suggest how we can do it, let's get it done. Have a sense of responsibility. And you realize that your involvement is going to drive memory very far away from you. Let us close with Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and then verse 14 to 16.
I'll read it and we'll just get going. Philippians 2, then verse 14 to 16. Do all things. How many things? How many things? Is he talking about your home? He's talking about everywhere, including your home, your job, your church, your relationship, everything. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. You know why? You know why? Because when you murmur, you rid yourself of the grace of God. You must do well to be in church on time. It's important. Okay? It's very important for your life and for what we are trying to do. What you are trying to do. Okay? But he says that do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And that is where I want to end. Holding on to the word of life, the word of God, is a solution to murmuring. I'll end by saying, trust the word of God. Trust the completeness of the word of God. Some people think that the word of God is so complete. They even say things like, well, it's so complete. If even you don't show signs and wonders, listen, ladies and gentlemen, nothing completes the word of God. The word of God is settled, tried, tested. The word of God is complete. Joshua was given only one commandment and one commandment alone. Moses could not lead them into the promised land in spite of his signs and wonders. Another developmental leader came. He did not work a single sign and wonder, but he took the whole of Israel into the kingdom system, into the promised land, because he operated the way that God wanted him to operate. He told him, this book of the law is going to make a way of escape for you from this runabout wilderness, and you will enter into the promised land. You will make your way prosperous. Even as you trust, you hold on to the word of God. In your disappointment, in your failure, in your hope being deferred, hold on to the word of God, because like a hammer, it will make a way of escape for you to come out of this every day, every minute temptation of memory in our lives. May God bless us all.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell, and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.